it's a better place to recognize without wallowing in the fact that I can't do this without him.
Right.
You know, that's a tricky balance.
Yeah.
Isaiah experienced it, right? Isaiah was big time prophet. And as soon as he was that close to the Lord, he was like, woe is me.
Right.
I'm a loser, to paraphrase.
Right.
To use Nancy's phraseology and slap it on Isaiah. But that's basically what he did, right? That's how he felt.
Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through His Word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org. On the website, you'll also find some great resources to take the study even deeper. studywithfriends.org. This week, we continue in the study called Obedience and Timing. Last week, we looked at a lot of biblical mandates for and examples of obedience. We also started the tricky conversation about the loss of blessing as a result of disobedience. We're not talking about losing your salvation. Once you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no one can take you from His hand. So let's talk more about what the consequences of obedience versus disobedience might really be. Let's get right to it.
You have a condition, saved, unsaved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is what we call sort of a once and ongoing experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to receive Jesus Christ and the gift that He was on the cross and understand your sin and make a decision for Jesus Christ. That is that is what we'll call your salvation moment. Because once you make that decision, if it's true in the depths of your heart, if you make it from your heart and from your mind and from your soul and from your spirit, no one can ever take that away from you. Once you have salvation in Jesus Christ, you cannot undo that. However, what you can do is jack yourself all up by not being obedient. And then you can mess up what Jesus calls the abundant life. I came that they might have life, first salvation, the big S salvation,
right,
and have it abundantly, which is then, okay, after you make that decision, you still have a whole life to lead. What's that life going to look like? Is it going to be abundantly full of the joy of the Lord? Or is it going to be you not staying on board with that decision you made and not marinating in my word and my love, Jesus speaking, to the point where, and he talks about abide with me. I mean, it's all over the Bible. That's about him working out our salvation, our abundant life from the time after we make that decision.
Right.
So we have these two states of being that we can be in. Unsaved or saved. But then once saved, walking in an abundant life or not walking in an abundant life. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how you slice it, that has everything to do with obedience. Of course, it has to do with grace. Of course, it has to do with grace. I can't do squat. Outside of God's grace, I cannot be obedient to the life that He wants me to live, which is the whole reason Jesus came in the first place. So if that's true, and it is, then when I'm not obedient, I am withdrawing myself from the abundant life that He intends for me. If that's all true, then even as much as we don't want to hear this, this is hard on our ears, the loss of blessings as a result of disobedience, because it goes against like this whole Jesus did it all on the cross. Like, it's complicated, guys, but the truth is, it's me. God doesn't move, I move. And in large part, I move as a result of disobedience.
Right.
It does really a lot of times boil down to that. There are times it doesn't. Obviously, there are times it doesn't. Satan can have a lot of fun in a heart that's new towards the Lord, or even a heart that's 20 years in that just has allowed the distraction or the derailment to happen. But also, I have this ability to make a choice every day. Am I going to do something in God's word today? And I'm telling you, day to day for me, day on day, I'd say the last 3 or 4 days, I have not read my Bible. And and that's a loss of blessing because I wasn't feeling God's presence because of my disobedience. And it was distraction. It's not like I got up in the morning and was like, today, I'm not gonna.
Right. It wasn't rebellion.
No, it was just distraction, which I think is the worst D. But I had a resulting loss of blessing. The blessing of the presence of the Lord that I feel every day.
Right.
Working with Him in this ministry and working with Him in His word, if I don't do it, I feel that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a, I'm going to say that's a little loss of blessing, even mm-hmm. though to me it feels big and important. Mm-hmm. Then there you expand it out. You're saved, but life takes you like a tidal wave, and you do what with Christian buzzword is called backsliding, which means you just get washed away from your whole program. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not plugged in. Honestly, in the summertime when Bible study breaks mm-hmm. is a big one for me. Is that true for you guys?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. It's a huge time.
Just not being regularly mm-hmm. accountable.
Yeah.
Right? And life can come on in a whole bunch of ways and create that disobedience and subsequent loss of blessing. So I'm just saying you can expand that out in a bunch of ways. If mm-hmm. anybody wants to give examples of how that looks in their life, that's fine.
Well, I just know this God's been calling me to make changes. And I see, looking back, it's been relationships that have suffered with people I love. And I don't think I made the connection until recently. And now it's a struggle sometimes to know, okay, God doesn't give up on me. So I'm going to start all over and I'm going to listen this time and I'm going to work on it. And yeah, maybe I'm going to fail. Maybe I'll fall, but he's not going to give up on me. I'm not going to give up. Mm. It's hard sometimes to not look back and say, why didn't I just listen 3 years ago? Why didn't I just listen the first time? And so I guess that's where that whole timing thing is with, you know his timing is perfect. I've seen his perfect timing in my life over and over, but it makes me wonder so much, why did I nearly walk away from all of this? And why did I risk it all?
It's a struggle. You feel frustrated with yourself.
I'm very frustrated with myself and I'm very regretful. Mm. And I don't want to live in a state of regret mm-hmm. because that's just, the devil's just messing with me mm-hmm. right there.
For and, sure.
And he pulled me down pretty deep a couple weeks ago. And I don't want to, I want to look back and say, okay, you know how miserable you've made it. So don't do that again. Mm. And learn from it. But I don't want to live in it and wallow in it. I want to move on.
That's so hard.
It's really hard.
Because there's a balance between remembering it.
Yeah, to learn.
To make sure that you're aware mm-hmm. and intentional mm-hmm. without letting the enemy suck you down into defeat.
Yeah, right. And you have that one verse.
I don't know. Oh, Micah 7:8.
Yeah, Micah. I know it's Micah.
Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Yeah. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though yeah. I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's a serious
memory one.
Verse for
Love
me.
That.
If you don't have that verse memorized,
I have bits and
you're
pieces.
Robbing yourself. Like in general, I'm looking at you, but I mean everyone.
But I have the generalization of it. I don't always remember the address. I know it's Micah. I don't always have the address. I don't always have the word for word, but I always have the general idea of that verse in my head.
Yeah,
I was letting myself be gloated over. I was letting myself just go to the pit and being like, what's the sense? You're a loser. You never get it right. Mm. And realizing that we are all screwed up.
I was just gonna say, Nance, take comfort. I'm a loser
right.
too.
And if
and I think yeah, all
why
of us.
Why would anybody need Jesus if we weren't all losers? Mm-hmm. not look, to make anybody feel
thing,
really lousy right
thing.
Now, but
some days you don't feel like a loser,
right?
But honestly, it's in that loser place,
yeah,
that you have the most intimacy with
it's
the Lord.
Really
because
true.
When I feel capable, mm-hmm. then I'm really not
right.
not experiencing His strength and
exactly.
His capability,
yeah.
and in the false idea that I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I said once, I never know where I said things or why, but in both the place of I can't mm-hmm. and in the place of I can, I'm robbing God if I'm not right-minded, right?
Right.
So if I say I can't, then that's diminishing. God is bigger than me.
Right. Right.
How dare you say you can't?
Yeah.
I can give you... You could fly if I wanted you to, God. You know what I would say to me? So how could you say I can't? Then that's diminishing God.
Yeah, nothing's too big for
him. Nothing is too big for him to do. And if he chooses to do it through me, honestly, guys, I struggle with that all the time. I listen, of course, I spend a lot of time listening to and writing and doing this ministry. And a lot of times I'm like, I'm not doing anything or saying anything other people aren't doing or saying better. Right? Right? Like that is pretty much my theme. And I just have to keep doing it anyway because I feel that God has called me to do this. And it's in those moments when I feel like I can't that God is the biggest.
Yeah.
Because and then I get myself out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then when I think I can, I also diminish him.
Yeah.
Because I think I can.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke.
Right. Yeah.
right. Who do you think is really doing this?
That's right. big. With
and
me.
Yeah. So, but we can get ourselves into the headspace of diminishing God in either place.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it's a better place to recognize without wallowing in
mm-hmm.
the fact that I can't do this without Him.
Right.
You know, that's a tricky balance.
Yeah.
Isaiah experienced it, right? Isaiah was big time prophet. And as soon as he was that close to the Lord, he was like, woe is me.
Right.
I'm a loser, to paraphrase.
Right.
To use Nancy's phraseology and slap it on Isaiah. But that's basically what he did, right? That's how mm-hmm. he felt.
Do you have that verse?
I'm going to say it's 9, but I'll look for it because I think Kay has something she wants to say. So okay. She's going to give me a minute to look for it.
Okay.
No, you know, it just, for me, what bothers me is in my humanness, I don't learn from my disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, why can't I learn the first time? Because I'm human, mm-hmm. because I'm not perfect, because I never will be. But why can't, and there's so many things that we're disobedient in every day. Why can't I just pick, you know, some of them and remember?
Yeah.
You know,
and I think know. The more mature we become, the longer we are in the walk or the deeper we get, the more we see wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, I like to work mm-hmm. out. So I attribute this to working out. Like we have kind of a saying, a lot of us are like, aren't these burpees ever going to get easier? Isn't this thing ever going to get easier? And the point is that you keep going deeper. You keep going further. You keep getting stronger, so you do this faster or with more mm-hmm. weight or with, and I think that's kind of how I'm starting to see the faith walk. Mm-hmm. Like the deeper you get in it, the more mature you get in it. Sometimes the harder it is, maybe not harder, but the more he expects out of you, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I love that you said weight, because that is exactly how I feel. I just feel I start to feel weighted,
yeah,
until I give it to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just the freeing feeling, you know, just until the next time I disobey. But that freeing feeling is just beautiful.
Yeah, this give and take. But as you're more spiritually mature, you can handle more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different analogy for weight. It's Isaiah 6.
Thank you.
I had the number upside down. So this is tricky, the loss of blessing as a result of disobedience, but it's the truth. So we got to say the truth and let God sort it out. Amy, can you read from Psalms to show us some of the rewards of obedience? Let's have a bright spot.
Absolutely.
after all that.
See that. So Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That was from Psalms 1:1-2.
Okay, and I have Luke 11:28. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's Jesus speaking. So we see blessings as a result of obedience. Based on all the scripture, I think it's, and there's a lot more in the homework. If you don't have the homework, download it at studywithfriends.org. You can keyword search obedience. There's a search box at the bottom of the homepage, at the bottom of every page. And you just put obedience in the search box and this Bible study will come up. You're going to want to print that homework out because there's a lot in here. We're about to go into the first and second Adam that you're going to want to have in front of you. So just try to print that out when you have a minute. But based on all this scripture, it seems safe to say obedience is a really big theme in the Bible and therefore in the life of a believer. But a passage we didn't talk about is I'm starting to feel like it's the best example of obedience in the Bible. And that's the example that Jesus sets in Matthew 4:1-11, which is the temptation in the desert. And people are pretty familiar with this. If you've gone to church for even a couple mm-hmm. years, you've probably heard it or touched on it. If you're in your 40s, you remember the movie, The Temptation of Christ. That was a big cultural thing. So we all know that Jesus Christ was tempted by the enemy in the desert. It was right after he was baptized. And right before, it was the beginning of his earthly official ministry. And I think probably because it's so much about temptation, we don't necessarily associate it with obedience at first glance, but we leave it in the space of successfully defeating temptation, which it has a ton to offer. Not the least of which is Jesus was God, is God, and yet he used scripture 100% of the time to defeat temptation. Mm-hmm. That's a really big lesson from this passage. And so there's obviously a lot about temptation that we can talk about, but I just wanted to go a little bit deeper today. So if you haven't studied Matthew 4:1-11 for the more obvious lessons of how to cope with temptation, do that. But today we're going to talk about how all obedience is laced with temptation and how temptation and obedience are really interwoven, inextricably linked. And then we're going to move forward into how obedience and timing really come together. By its very nature, obedience means I'm doing something that it might not be my first choice to do. so I would be tempted not to do it, right? You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying there?
Yep.
Temptation to do the other thing is wrong. Obedience is right. When I obey, it usually means I'm succeeding in doing something God calls me to do or resisting something he warns me against. And I'm tempted not to do that. I have in the homework a simple cookie jar analogy. Yeah. Like my mom, I was, you know, terrible eater, which I've overcome.
I like everything.
By the Lord's grace, I have overcome my problem with picky eating. Amen. But when I was little, I just was picky and I didn't want to eat. And she was always making healthy food. And I was like, this is yucky. But the cookies lived on the top of the refrigerator and I could get them. It was like she had them locked up. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a cookie jar per se, but the cookie, there were always Oreos on top of the refrigerator. And, you know, when I was little and I couldn't reach up there, I would like quietly take a chair. She's upstairs doing laundry or something. And Oreos are really noisy packaging. Yeah, so you have to really go slow to sneak those Oreos.
It can happen.
But you can do it. It can be done.
When it's something you want, the effort you will put forth.
Yeah, you can put a lot of effort into disobedience. Yeah. And you can be so tricky even when you're five. Mm. And but to obey my mom's rule means I resisted the temptation of the cookies.
But the whole reason Double is she stuff. Had the rule. For your
yes,
benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't see it that yeah, way. When
you're right. And you know what? My mom, every single time we sat down to eat, it was a 3-course meal. There was the entree with appropriate vegetables and protein. Mm. Then there was a salad every single night. Wow. And there was always a dessert.
Wow.
It's interesting that you say that because obviously, you know, my brother, who I love so much, did not have the same challenge as I did of being picky and he loved to eat. Mm. But she would say to him, if you don't eat your vegetables, then you're not going to get any dessert because there was always dessert.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, I'm eating the vegetables because I want the dessert. Yeah. But with me, I had already eaten the cookies most of the time. And I was like, whatever, dude.
And I had my dessert.
She always used to get frustrated with me because she could never hold that over my head. Like, and I didn't have as much of a sweet tooth then either. I just wasn't ever very hungry. You know, I just was a bad eater. And so she always used to joke that she could always motivate my brother with dessert, but she could never motivate me with dessert. Like, you cannot make me eat that broccoli. I don't care. Again, a shocker to you, right?
That
she would make me sit at the table for 2 hours.
Oh, I hated
and
that.
And I would sit there, stubborn little Holly.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and she never let up. One time she came downstairs and threw a pillow and a blanket at me. And she was like, good night.
Wow.
And made me stay there. And good I was like, her. Oh my gosh, she's hardcore. But it was good. That's a good. So for me to obey in that scenario, and of course we are talking about globally here, but I'm giving an example. To obey means to resist that temptation most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I tempted not to go up for communion? That's different. No, I'm not really tempted when it's time to go up for communion. Right. That's obedience. That's different. But a lot of times, obedience is linked to temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bear that in mind. And then I'm going to ask Kay, do you guys agree with what I'm building here? If you think I'm full of baloney on this obedience temptation thing, tell me so that I can explain it better or...
No, I think there's one thing that you know, but I think that you left it out that when Jesus is tempted... He is also tempted by the word. So
that's great.
So Satan knows the word better than, certainly better than I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, So he twists it to make
that's
it in his favor.
Point. That's a great
and that's
point.
One of his D's, the deception.
Yes.
Yeah. Kay, would you please read Matthew 4:1-11?
Yes, I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and... on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. And that comes from Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11.
Thanks, Kay. Mm-hmm. I loved your intonation when you said, be gone, Satan. That was good. I was like, I felt it.
Ed's working with the kids.
I saw the hand gestures, too. She was...
So we're going to do a quick, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this first Adam, second Adam, but I think we have to do it in order to build what we're building towards. So we're going to dive into this example and uncover the ways that God layered in lesson over lesson this important beginning of Jesus' early ministry. Before you guys had done the homework, had you heard of Jesus being called the second Adam or the last Adam?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians 15:45, Paul refers to Jesus as the last Adam. So there's a lot of things in life that are theological and not necessarily word for word in the Bible, but this isn't one of them.
Okay. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:45.
Okay. So what does that mean that Jesus is the last Adam? So it has to do with the role that Adam played as our representative. And we have to keep that word representative top of mind as we walk through this. He was given commands by God in the Garden of Eden, and Adam didn't just stand there for himself. He stood for the whole of humankind. He was our appointed representative before God. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it back then, mm-hmm. because he was the first. So mm-hmm. of course he was our representative because he represented humanity, of which he defined the whole, mm-hmm. right? But it gets a little tricky later when you think one man over thousands of years, but it's like an ambassador to the United Nations. When a country sends an ambassador, she doesn't just represent herself or her family, she represents her national people. Adam was doing the same thing. Adam stood as humanity's representative before God. That means he sinned as our representative too. So that's what the term original sin is all about. Because Adam sinned in the garden, you and I sinned in the garden. We're all guilty of Adam's sin. Now, did I actually physically sin in the garden? No. But because Adam did, I bear that. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, because if I were in the garden, I would probably sin too.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a human.
There is. That's the point.
Right. There is.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we can all sort of agree on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So original sin, let's call that big O original sin, which is Adam's act. Mm-hmm. But then I'm born into that because I carry that. I carry the fallen humanity in my DNA when I'm born. Mm-hmm. And so I bring original sin with me and then I agree with it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of this balance between the first thing and then the ongoing thing. Like I said about salvation, the first salvation thing and then the ongoing thing, mm-hmm. where Jesus saves us from bad choices and disobedience and he gives us grace to live the abundant life. He's saving us every day. He saved us big S when we received him into our heart, but he saves us little s every day. Same thing. Original sin capital versus original sin ongoing. Mm-hmm. That is my origin. I carry that with me until I go into glory, at which time I let that go. Mm-hmm. Well, really, God lets that off me. Right. Okay, so original sin. Okay, we just did that in 5 minutes. We rock. Okay. Okay, first Adam, last Adam. That's a big concept. Please take a minute to download the homework if you want to understand that more. But next week, we'll pick it back up and talk more about it, so please be sure to come back. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. We pray that you're blessed by the program. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that listeners would make a commitment of just $10 a month. Because we're an all-volunteer organization, $10 a month goes a long way. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of just $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.